Monday, the 3rd of September, Rabbi David Emanuel, the Hashivosa El Ravetha, thinking positively.
Good morning. I'd like to first give a big yeshka to Johnny Rapson and everything that he does, and Hashem should be mizak you further. Generally, in chinuch today, and in marriage, when issues come up, first the rabbi, the therapist, the couple, they make a cheshbon hanefesh. What's going wrong? What's going right? But they don't stop at what's going wrong. And everybody says, think positive. Look at what you can do, little boy. You're good at this, you're good at this. Can you better, you should do this. And the question which I'm asking today is, how come when it comes to tshuva, we stop it and we hear, ich bin a garnish, du bin a garnish, he's already not yet a garnish. But the point is, why do we get stuck at the point of thinking, I haven't? Why don't we take the hashkofa, which is in our generation, to think positive, and to use that to go weiter, that we already feel good, I'm going to make it, I want to go home, and I'm going to get there. Why is it, and how can we change that we should go in that mahalas? I was there 10 days ago to meet with Hagon Shmuel Kamenetsky in South Africa, and I discussed this mahalas with him, and I asked him if I could quote him, and he said, please do, and he said he feels that it's really an important issue and we should go with it. We know that revolvers, that's all, and all that I want to talk about, to do tshuva, to be a good deed, doesn't mean to take giant steps. It means to go small, little steps, and if I'm doing small little things, then I'm great. I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. So the question is, why don't we feel good about doing small little steps? Rabbi Philip Blaser talked about the point of V'yodato hayoim v'ashavot al rovecho. Most of us don't need any proofs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all know, we feel, and often we're connected, and we know b'emunah shleima, as much as we can relate to the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know it clear. The question is, why don't we feel it? Why don't we relate stronger to it? And he said, Yitzhak said, V'yodat hayom, until we get that knowledge into our thick skull, it's hard work. He said, but the distance from the thick skull into the very thick heart is even further. Give a moshel. Everybody knows, any adult knows, even youngsters know about the dangers of smoking. They've all heard the statistics. So if we all heard the statistics and we all know about it, then how come there's so many people who smoke? If you take somebody, a youngster, who's starting to smoke because of social pressures, and it's a very powerful pressure. I know myself, I won't tell you at what age, but for 2 years I smoked because I felt good, I felt big. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me that I went to a place where I saw what happened to people who smoke. And as one of the Chosid Rabbonim of Hanof, Rav Klaiswa, told me, when he was 12 and he went to his Rebbe on Purim and all the boys were smoking, he also had cigarettes in his pocket, hadn't put it in his mouth, the Rebbe took one of the cigarettes from the boy, put a serviette on the end of the cigarette and inhaled 3 puffs, and he showed the boys what the serviette looked like, the black on the serviette. He said since then he never touched a cigarette. He's now 40-something. When I saw the people coughing and what the slides, the radiologist slides, looked like, it gave me a pachad, because the Yodat Hayom is one stage, but to really feel and to be in touch, it's something totally different. I can't put a cigarette to my mouth anymore, Baruch Hashem. But those are two stages. When we believe in our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we know our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's something in our mind. But we have to live it, we have to feel it. And the Siyata Dishmaya will have some ideas today on how to go about it. There was a bocher learning in Ponovich, and his learning didn't go as well as he'd like. And he tried, and he kept going. But eventually, the Yetzer Hara got the better of him. And without telling too many people, he disappeared. He was still Shomer Shabbos, and he went to the army. And he struggled there. And it wasn't fun for him because he didn't identify with the people in his unit. And he was trying to be frum. but he couldn't go back to yeshiva. He was embarrassed and he was very isolated. One day they bring him from the office a postcard, and on the postcard, a postcard, I'll read the Hebrew, it says Yikiri Va'ohavai La'an shelo igato Eifu she'ato nimsa Ani rotze lipagesh V'lasasech itcha. My dear person, wherever you are, the one I love, however far you've got in life, I really want to meet with you and speak with you. And it was signed Shmuel. He didn't know who, what, where, when. As he looked on the back address, there was a phone number, and he called up, and the Shmuel was, the Shmuel Radovsky is Rosh Yeshiva, and he met with Rav Shmuel. Shmuel spoke to him how much he's missing him and how much he misses his kashas, and he never understood before how much learning meant to him and how not to be frustrated when things don't go, and how much he meant to the Rebbe and how much the Rebbe loved him. And he was able to extricate himself from the difficult situation, found himself to go back and to become an Avreich Hoshev, to the extent that in Olenu Shabbat they print this letter which Shmuel sent him. So here was somebody who was learning and who was growing, but was frustrated by not having in mind exactly who he was, what he was doing. He lost touch with himself and therefore went off. It was only when the Rebbe Rosh Yeshiva was able to connect with him and bring him back that he was able to understand. Really? That was me? I was learning like that? I am somebody, I was somebody, maybe a little somebody, that he was able to bring himself back into the yeshiva. Rabbi Yashiv, again brought by his son-in-law in Olenu Shabbat, he quotes Rabbi Yashiv talking about what we say in Slichas, Kedali Mukhroshim Dofak Medulatecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like poor people, we knock on your door. Rabbi Yashiv brings a marshal of people are sitting down for a meal. There's a vorspeise, there's a soup, there's a main course, there's a dessert. And we all enjoy it very much. And you know, what's the order that the meal has to go? All of a sudden there's a poor person in the middle of here, knocks on the door, and says, please come in, I'm a shulach from Eretz Yisrael. And the balabos welcomes him, please come in, we're in the middle of the meal, I can't sit with you now, come join us. He said, he can't come and say, I can't join the middle of the meal. What about the vorspeise? What about the soup? If you're a person who's coming in, then you have what you can get, you're very grateful, and you move on. We know that in terms of tshuva, says Rabbi Yashiv, there are three main points. There's azivas hachet, to leave the aver behind, change your ways. And there's harota, thinking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could I, who you gave such wonderful caring to, such a wonderful life, how could I behave like that? And there's tabola leosid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, in future, I want to be better, I'm going to be better. Several Yashiv, but we can't work like that today, because we are kedalim, uchoroshim. We don't have the ability to focus on all three together. And if we try, Rabbi Yashiv says, sometimes we're going to go away with nothing. Better each person, depending on your mood, to focus on what catches you today. I spoke Lashon Hara, Azivas Achet. Look what I did to that person. How am I going to fix that up? And so you make up your mind, from now on I'm going to be more careful. Somebody else will have work on Charot and says, I really should be doing that mitzvah. How come they can do that? How come he manages to give tzedakah, give us his time to help those unfortunate people? And kabbalah le'osid. Each time that you focus on something, said Rabbi Yashiv, don't worry about the Seder. Focus on what you have now, what you can do now, and that will bring you, in Yetz Hashem, to feel you're doing something, you're on the way. Once you're on the way, then you can relate to the other two. Azivas Achet, Charot, or whatever it is. Rav Shimon Schwab, in his book on Tefillah, and Rabbi Twersky relate to the fact that we all constantly are in a battle of wanting, on the one hand, to do mitzvah, to get close to Kodesh Baruch. On the other hand, we pull back by the physicalities, by our thoughts, by our tithes. And Rav Twersky quotes the Medrash, which is well known, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the Torah on Har Sinai, and the Malachim didn't want to give it to him. They said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you give the Torah to people on earth? You know what I mean? Our very, up here it's perfect, nobody's going to break a single thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, For that you need the Torah. And he brings an example of, do you have a Yetzer to steal? No, you don't have a Yetzer to steal. What do you need the Torah for? If we have the Torah, we have a Yetzer, and we can be learn Torah, and we can identify with the Torah, then we will be able to misgaber, and then we will work on ourselves, and we will overcome our evil inclination. Then that is what the Torah is for. But to keep it up there when you've got no temptation, what's the point? Same way, you know, if you covet other people's wives, and other examples which he brings. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim agreed to him. The whole way that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to convince the Malachim to agree to give the Torah was because we have those desires. We have those types. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu made us with them. They're part of our psyche, and they're not bad. They are there to drive us, to motivate us, to overcome. We know what happened when Chazal davened to mevatel the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. At the same time, I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please be mevatel the Yetzer Hara. Let's not have any more Yetzer Hara. And the next day, there weren't any eggs. Nobody was laying anything. Because without the Yetzer Hara, the world won't continue. It's supposed to be part of us. In Kriya Shema, we say, B'chol Levavcha. And it's not written Libcha with one vase. It's written Levavcha, Lamed vase, vase chav, to teach us you have a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, the Satan wants you. He's there. He wants you to beat him. He's there for a purpose, to give an obstacle to overcome, like a little child. He's saying, Moshe, come, take a step. Of course you can help him walk, but you're happy for him to struggle, to stumble, because that's the way he's going to learn, to become independent, to learn himself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has given us the Yetzer Hara. It's part of us, so that we can overcome it. But the trouble is that we walk away and we think, oi, I'm a Rosha because I want to eat so much, because I want to speak about that person. Wanting to, it's not a mixer, we should be better, and want to focus on Chesed, and want to use our energies and our eating or whatever it is in order to focus on Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the fact that it's part of us and is in there, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us to work with. And if we work with where we are, with our present tavis, with our present desires, on our present level, and we're on the battlefield, then we are winners. Not where we get to, but where we are here. The battle which we're doing now, trying to overcome the Yetzer Hara, that is when we are winners. Of course, and I cannot say it often enough, every moment in our life we should be doing an evaluation. How are we? How can we improve? As Monsieur Shishoim said, evaluate what you haven't done and what you have to do, and also evaluate what you are doing, the mamesh, to examine what am I doing, how can I do it better. Every moment of our life we should be doing that, but that's only to get going. Once we get going, leave the evaluation behind and move on and find the best manner possible to improve and to grow. And the best manner possible to prove and to grow is only if we're going to think positively. Imagine a person starting a business, and all he does is think, well, maybe he'll steal from me, maybe the shares won't go up, maybe this won't work, maybe that won't work. His business is never going to get off the ground. He's got to believe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me, and I can do this, and I can do this. I better be careful what I'm doing, sure, but then go for it. Make appointments, pick up the phone. He's going to worry about who's going to reject him. He's never going to get any appointments. So in Yiddishkeit, it's not the results which we achieve that are important, but it's the process. I heard once from my cousin Alfred Homburger many years ago when I was even younger. I don't remember the name of who he said it, but in Hallel, we say, Ona Hashem Hoshiono, and in Sukkot, Hoshiono, we shake the lulav. Comes to Tzlichono, we stand still. So why is there that difference? So he said, Ein Sonchen Alanesh, we don't rely on miracles. When we want to ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu for help, we have to do something a little bit to show that we're doing so. So we shake the lulav and say, Hoshiono, help me Hashem, I'm doing my little bit, please, you help me. But when it comes to hatzlocha, to success, that's not up to us at all. You can work as hard as you try. Success is totally not up to you. It's only up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we stand still with the lips to say, success, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is only up to you. A person can study for an exam and he can spend a year on it. come to the day of the exam, Chas V'Shalom, he's got a splitting headache, where it's a bechino exam, doesn't matter, and he's not going to manage. Hatzlocha is not up to us. We have to daven for it. We have to stand. So now, we have to do our best in preparing. But Hatzlocha is totally a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we understand that in life, it's the process of working, of trying, that is what is success in life, and we connect, I am trying, and I can try a little bit harder, then I can feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm trying to get nearer to you, I can feel good about it, and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me more. Just bring a couple of examples which will help us also relate to that, to relate to the schar, to the reward from the process. Stories told of the mother of the Vilna Gaon that she had a gemach where she gave out parcels to poor people, and she worked with a friend. She came to an agreement with her friend that whoever would die first and would go up to the heavenly courts would come back in a dream and tell them about what there is up there, so that they would be motivated even further to be successful. And the friend went first to Olam HaEmes, and during the Shiva she came back and she said to her, you remember that one time we were taking food to that old lady, and there she was across the road, we were going there, and she told her the circumstance, we were going there, she was across the road, and you lifted up your hand and you signaled to her to wait, don't cross the road. You cannot imagine how much schar, how much reward you're going to get for putting up your hand, not for what you gave her, but just for putting up your hand. And the Vilna Gaon says further, he says, if we are in a situation where we want to tell somebody off, we want to blame somebody, we want to say something strongly, and we keep our mouth shut, he says, for every second you keep your mouth shut, you cannot believe, you cannot imagine how many incredible palaces you are building for yourself in Shemayim. Now afterwards you let go and you give the bracha to the person which isn't warranted, and you make a terrible mistake, that doesn't take away, those palaces are there. Sure, they could be decorated more beautifully if you kept your mouth shut for another few seconds. But that schar is there. And that's talking about schar in the world to come. Rav Zilberstein brings that there was a maisa in Kfar Hasidim, where there was in Eretz Yisrael, the Stania Haifa there, Yeshiva Kfar Hasidim is there. And when one Simchas Torah was on Friday, and there was a Shalom Zocher, Moshe Simchas Torah. And you can imagine how many people at the yeshiva had the energy after their meal on Friday night to go to the Shalom Zocher. Quite a big issue. And six people showed up at the Shalom Zocher. Like the Mor in Sukkot says, the people who went to the first Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Suda, and they didn't fast Yom Kippur, everybody went home, and they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the fact that they didn't fast Yom Kippur because of the Chanukah Shabbos, the Beis HaMikdash, they all had male children. These six people who showed up at the Shalom Zocher, every one of them within 9 months had a male son. Some of them only had daughters until then, some of them didn't have any children. The bracha was evident. You did your little bit of an effort. It's hard to get up from the table Friday night and go out. Once you're on your way, you're already there. It's just that little bit of effort in the beginning to get out the house. That's what they did, and already, in this world, they got their schar. But more than that, there's a mission in the beginning of Midas, which talks about, Machloikis, Shammah and Hillel, how much water in a mikveh, which isn't quite, doesn't have the 40 saw necessary for a kosher mikveh. It's a little bit missing. If you add how much from unnatural water does a mikveh become possible? Not valid. Shammai says if you add Tisho Kavim, 9 Kavim. And Hillel says that if you add 5 Lugim, and the Mishnah brings there, V'chachomim Amrim, Loi Kiti Brezeh, V'loi Kiti Brezeh, not like this one, and not like that one. Elo ad shebor gadayim mishar ashpoish v'shalayim ve'idu mishum shmai v'avtalyo sholo shlugim mayim shuvim poish samikveh. And the Mishnah goes into a long thing and says, Hachomim say, not like Hillel, not like Shammai, but like those two weavers who lived at Dung Gate in Yerushalayim, and they testified that they were there in the Beis HaMedrash when Shmaya Vahavtalion said that three lugim, if they fall into the mikveh, and the mikveh isn't 40 saw, it passes up the mikveh. Rashi and the Bar Tanura asked the question, it's a very important halacha, but do we have to know that these were very simple weavers and they lived at Dung Gate? What's that got to do with learning the halacha? And they both answer, can you imagine the Moetas Dola Torah sitting and having a discussion, halacha like this, halacha like that? And so two old people at the back sort of said, you know, we were sitting there in Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski's Beis HaMedrash and we heard him say this and this stuff. Either it will be Mekabel, not be Mekabel, but the Chachamim were Mekabel. It wasn't necessarily easy for these weavers after a hard day's work, and they lived in Dung Gate, the lowest of society, to schlep themselves to the Beis HaMedrash. But they schlep themselves to the Beis HaMedrash in the time of Shmaya Vahavtalion, and they were also there when the Chachamim were sitting and discussing this halacha. And Chachamim said, the halacha is as you said. In the little bit of effort that they put to get into the Beis HaMedrash, these simple people, the halacha was fixed for generation to generation like them. With a little bit of effort, you get Shchayin Olam Haba, you get Shchayin Olam Hazeh, and you fix the halacha for many, many generations. Being in touch with benefits, okay, it's easy now for us to say, let's be in touch. Yeah, we can get something from it. It's like a little girl who always wants to be her mommy, okay, and she now tastes the chocolates. So once you taste the chocolates, it's easier to identify with chocolates, but still we have a problem. The little girl, if you give her chocolates or diamonds, as much as she wants to be a mommy, she's going to take the chocolates over the diamonds. You know, the way we listen, the way we live, we're so much in touch with the chocolates of life that to really feel the diamond is still not so easy. In this week's parsha, in fact, in the Aliyah, which many people learn today, Sheni, so at the end of Sheni, so the pasuk says, and I'll just paraphrase, Omol Hashem lokeh levavcha tzavav darecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will circumcise, will mold your heart to serve Him, and your children's heart, and yours, and as a result, you will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart and with all your soul. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the psukim carry on, and it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with you. Ki Yoshuv Hashem lo sus alecho, lo tzoyk asher sos alecho, just as He did with your forefathers. And in the end, it says, and this mitzvah which I'm telling you, it's not too difficult for you to, it's not far away, it's not in the Shamayim, it's not over the sea. Ki koroi velecha adovah ma'oid beficha vovcho la'asosot. It's near to you, just with a little bit of effort. If you make up your mind, you take that first step, I want you to do it. You're going to try, I will help you. So basically what Hashem is saying is, I want you to do it. Rejoice. Come home. And if we understand that when I am trying to do tshuva, I should not focus on who I am so much, but Daddy wants me to come home. Obina Shabashan, he's saying, come home children, I want you. The place is ready. Let me help you. If we will feel the privilege of being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, want to go closer, and we value that privilege, it will be so much easier for us to do. Sure. Just imagine, Her Majesty asks you to come and serve her for a day in the palace. It's a big honor. Imagine even more, your Rav or Godel HaDor or Rebbe asks you to come and be his shamash. Me? How can I be the Rebbe? But the Rebbe asks, can you imagine what a privilege? And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivyocho, Bichvod Rebbe Atzmo says, come home, I want you. So me to say I'm not worthy? Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know I'm not worthy. I'll make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. But thank you. I so much want to. And if I'm motivated to go close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's my motivation, then I'm going to go much better. Sure, I can always improve. Always have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to feel great about it. In Dublin, there are two things I want to relate to. Number one is the message in Dublin from Birkas HaShachar. And the second thing is a means to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say straight after brachas, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not really worthy. What am I? I'm not worth more than an animal. Who am I? But straight after that, what do we say? We are Rom's children, and we go and she say, Ashreinu ma tov chokeinu, mayin goraleinu. I am privileged. You've given us the Torah. In Tefillah itself we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am privileged. This is what Chazal wants us to learn from the first part of Tefillah. Feel. You start off, you make your cheshbon nefesh, but feel, I am so privileged. And to connect to that. But more than that, most people have had the opportunity of crying during davening, whether it's for Slach Lanu, or for Enu, or for Refaleinu, for Panos, or for health, for whatever, in Shema Koleinu. But how often do we stop in davening to assess all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and that we come to Moedim Anachnu Loch and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we feel real gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we connect in a very, very personal way. Baruch Hashem, I was able to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the birth of all my children. I couldn't stop crying. And when I was able to connect to that feeling in Moedim, when I was preparing this talk, I had to stop, because really I cannot thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu enough for the incredible chesed. I'm just talking about my own children and everything else HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. Each person in their own way has the way of connecting. If we connect in Moedim and use Moedim to really feel gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like we can with Moedim Ani in the beginning of davening, then we can take that feeling with us and we'll feel close and we'll go further. Something else, the missing we experience. If we all say, if we'd have a Nes Goloi, if we'd have an open miracle, for sure we'd feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go back. Some people unfortunately really go back 60 odd years to the camps. But let us imagine that we were there viewing what happened, and the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Zatzal, would get up one day in the middle of the camps and say, unfortunately today we know that Mashiach hasn't come for 60 years since those terrible mighty. Imagine he would get up and he would say, I have two pieces of news for you. Mashiach won't come for at least 60 years. People would have said, oh, I don't know how they would have survived. They said, no, don't worry. You see, we're here today in the camps. We're going to lose many of us today. They're going to beat us. They're going to set their dogs on us and whatever other terrible things it is. But don't worry. You know, in 60 years' time, you're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael with the shivas living the lap of luxury. 6 million Jews. Enough time for machlokes, enough time for holidays, for everything. Mitzvahs, like you cannot believe. People would have thought, Nebuch, the poor Rebbe, after all he's gone through. Lo yitochen, such a thing without Mashiach, it's not possible. There are billions of Arabs who all they need to do is walk into Eretz Yisrael. All they need to do is walk and they'll overcome us. And look what our God has broken, has given us. We are living today in Eretz Yisrael, and those who are living in Chutzlach see and benefit being able to go to Yisrael. We see this Nes Goloi. Yes, we take it for granted. It's not happening. We have to wake up and connect to. It's not that will HaKadosh Baruch Hu show us missing dream. We live this Nes Goloi, and yet we don't feel it. And other missing in our lives, we have to wake up and relate to them, because if we relate to them, then we can really do Rashavosa Elavavecha. One of the reasons that we are like we are is because we live in a society of Western values. We can't help it. That's again the way our HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put us here. Now, to take, for example, in a society where people, some people here know what football is. Okay?
No.
So some people just watch football in order to relax. Other people watch because they want to see the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the skills he's given mankind. Look what he can do. Look at those majestic movements of the players. Other people are a bit more musadik, and they think, did you see offside? You know what you can learn from offside? Not to live beyond your madrega. You have to live according to your own madrega. And that's why they watch. Other people know it's more. They see teamwork. You know, see what teamwork is? You know what you can learn? Arayus for Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael Arayus El Azeh? Right? All different things you can get from football. However, just imagine a critical game wherever you'd like it to be. The score is 2-1 and the one team is losing at the 93rd minute, and they're given just about the last kick of the game, 35 metres out, and the player, whoever you'd like it to be, takes the most brilliant shot, bends round the defence wall, wrong foots the goalie, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and the goalie falls the wrong way, and by mistake the ball hits him on his behind and goes out. Who's going to remember the shot which the guy took, which was so perfect? Nobody, because it doesn't count. In the Western world, it's you're either a winner or a loser. And that's the life we live, whether it's in business, whether it's in clothes, in food, in housing, in everything. That's the way we are. This is our society. We didn't choose the society. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us here. That is something we have to live with and be in touch. This is our society. Part of it is a yetzer tov to earn. You can use money to do mitzvahs. Part of it is a real yetzer hara. I'm living in a society where being a winner is what counts, and that's not what we're talking about. We saw already doing the process of doing our best, taking the right shots in life. That's what counts. Then I'm a winner, not if I score a goal. But that's part of us, and we have to understand that's part of us. That's the part that I have to battle against and not let it interfere in my yiddishkeit. When I think of myself, I'm not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu well because I'm not a winner. I spoke a little bit of Lashon Hara today. Oi, I got to the third Baruch Hu Shmoneh Esrei already. My thoughts are elsewhere. Don't worry about it. You're on the battlefield. Carry on. Try and focus on the next Baruch Hu, on the next one, and speak 1 minute less Lashon Hara. And if you're the sort of person who knows that you have a temptation to always speak in Chazorah Tashah, say, okay, I will not speak in the first Baruch Hu. Just little steps. That's what counts. What Neil Armstrong said really counts for us. One small step for man is a giant step in Yiddishkeit. I'm not talking about what goes on in the moon. I'm talking about in our Avodas HaBoyer. If we make small steps, we are really, really there. The Chofetz Chaim asked the question. He said, how can it be, okay, that Avraham Avinu davened, and Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and David HaMelech davened, and Shlomo HaMelech davened, and they asked for Mashiach to come, and Yoah Novi davened, whoever else you want davened, or the generations, the Chofetz Chaim himself davened, and they didn't bring Mashiach. How can I feel that I'm going to bring Mashiach after they didn't, and I'm going to bring the world to do tshuva? That's not our business. The Chofetz Chaim said, whoever davened previous generations, they dug the foundations, and the next generation built a little higher, and a little higher, a little higher. And what is left for us today is to put small little bricks. And each little brick counts. Each little step counts. I want to end with a story of somebody in the Holocaust, Rav Noyke Shal's uncle. I don't remember his bracha. I don't remember his name. But I heard the story from Noyke Shal himself. He had an uncle who was schlepped from Auschwitz, too long to tell the story, but to a concentration camp in Austria. And in Austria, it was terrible conditions, but it wasn't Auschwitz. And he was part of a work crew, and had to go with the tools every day to work. Came Shabbos, Rabbi Yankel, we'll call him, put a handkerchief around his neck. And he said to him, Yankel, what are you doing? He said, Shabbos today. Yankel, but you're carrying your fork, your spade, everything else. What you put the handkerchief around your neck for? Yeah, the fork and the spade I have to carry. The handkerchief I don't have to carry. I put around my neck. Yankel, but every other day of the week you don't take a handkerchief. Why on Shabbat you take a handkerchief? He says, you see my children around me? My six children? Where are they going to learn about Shabbos from? There's no Shabbos future. There's no Shabbos mirrors. There's no Shabbos davening. Where are my children going to learn about Shabbos from? If I put a handkerchief around my neck, they're going to ask me, Tati, what are you doing? What's the point of it? I explain to them about Heilige Shabbos, and then they'll learn the lesson of Shabbos. After the war, they all survived. The children went all over the world. Each one of them remains from Shomer Shabbos. The youngest son gave them a lot of worries, though. He was living in Venezuela, a very, very good businessman, and going all over the place. But his partner said he always went into every restaurant and only ate fresh food and drank water. But he was later that at the age of 40 he met a girl who from New York, and he got engaged to her, and he went to have a picture taken, and he said to the postmaster, please, he phoned his parents, I'm engaged, but I want you to send this express to my parents in Netanya. And the Postmaster said, Express, you know, Express takes 11 days. Send them later, it's 12 days. He said, no, Kibbutz, my parents are waiting long enough, send it Express. He sent it Express. His mother opened the picture, the parcel in Netanya. She said, Baruch Hashem, look at this girl which Yankee's got. She said to her father, to her husband, she said, Baruch Hashem. The next morning, the father didn't wake up. A small little bit of effort on all of our parts will show dividends, but we must focus, be in touch. We're not here to perfect the world. We're here to take small steps. And each small step which you do will bring us closer to Gula, because Baruch Hashem told us that we should really be in touch with what we know that He is. Avinu Shel Hashamayim, Shezeichah to Aksivah, Sibetovah, and Gula Shem, Yehi Yomeinu, Tzedek.